This production includes discussions about topics such as sexual assault, domestic violence, stalking, emotional violence, and physical violence. This content may be difficult, so should you continue to listen, I encourage you to care for your safety and well-being. All right. Hey, guys. Leslie Jingleski here, and I am here with my friend,
Candace Fox from Youth Services at the Avalon Center. We're super excited to keep talking about Maine.
I know. We got a little chatty the last time.
Yeah, I'm hoping we can be a little bit more task-oriented today.
We'll see. But it's something that we're passionate about.
Yeah.
And when you and I get excited about things,
again, we could talk to a wall or anything.
Right. Exactly. So today we are doing the second installment of our series. The podcast is Responding with Hope. This series is Unpacking MADE. And I just recently, yesterday and today, watched episodes 2, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets intense.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to rewatch them because I have watched the series and I want to make sure like what's in what episode,
mm-hmm.
because I totally forgot we didn't touch on in episode 2 that little
but he is in the future episodes he learns where the car.
Yes, and that's in episode three at the end. Yep.
So basically episodes 3 starts out and she's in that basic needs class.
Mm-hmm.
And as a parent, the first thing I thought of was how humiliating that class was. Empowering was not the word for it.
No.
At all. The basic needs class, and I get it, you know, this will look good in court.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you feel about it. I feel like I have a little bit more faith in our legal system, but I don't know.
I don't really have a whole lot of faith, but yeah, and it is like a huge, we do supervised visitations,
mm-hmm.
for youth services. That, mm-hmm. is one of the services that we do provide pre-pandemic. We'll see about later when things get a little bit safer, but a lot of times, you know, when parents are in the act of supervised visitations, and when we do go through the ground rules and some of our procedures, a lot of the parents, you could see it on their faces that they're just, you know, kind of, you know, embarrassed and maybe feeling some other different feelings that, wow, why does this person have to watch me with my child, and right. different things like that. So it can be, you just see the emotion, you know, and though we have all of those things for the child, I think sometimes it is hard to see the future of like, oh, this is just a temporary thing,
mm-hmm.
in order for, you know, the goal to be reached. And though it's uncomfortable, you know, it is a safe thing.
Absolutely. And documented.
Yes.
And I think documentation is huge.
And though the class was uncomfortable, the same thing, you know, it is documented, you know, she did go through it. So it just that whole entire experience, it's the only thing that I kept thinking about was the supervised visitations, just some of the experiences that maybe the parents have, just going through it, because it can, you know, even be traumatizing and triggering for a parent.
Absolutely. One of the things that the guy said was 3 meals a day. You know, we need to have 3 meals a day. We need to have snacks. And I feel like that is along the lines of common sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot imagine being in that situation and having to hear that. Immediately, you want to look around and at the other people in the class.
Yeah, because you're like, well, why am I here? You know,
right.
Like, why is this happening to me? And you said something really cool last time about like situation, like everything's like situation based. And that's just kind of like where she is at. And that can be really traumatizing, but it can be empowering once it's over, because, okay, I have this piece of paper. I did what I was supposed to do.
Right.
As embarrassing as this was, here I am now. I completed it, completed the task.
But I think it goes back to speaking to why doesn't she just leave?
Yeah.
Because this is yet another challenge, yet another societal, you know, how do you feel, how you feel the way that society looks at you?
Right.
And that's just another step where at that point she could have said, you know what? I'm just going to go back home.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this anymore.
I don't want to be in this room full of these people. I don't want to have this person tell me things that I already know. Mm-hmm. I can just, you know, suck it up at my house and have a little bit more control.
She got picked up at the class. And then the woman that is with the shelter picked her up and brought her coffee. And I don't know why that spoke to me, but it was just a little tiny thing. And she was so happy about it. She said, you brought me coffee. And, you know, the woman said, no, it was Folgers. It's just Folgers, baby girl. But in that moment, the gratitude for something as simple as a cup of coffee just kind of shows you her emotional state.
Yeah, but even then, like what we were watching in all the episodes, like you could see like how every dollar that she spends counts.
Yeah.
So imagine the last time that she, I mean, you and I take it for granted. Here we are. This is something that I do for self-care every single day. Mm-hmm. Like I buy myself expensive coffee every single day. And I have the luxury of doing that. Whereas there's so many people that don't. So just that small incentive really can make the difference in her day and just how expensive life is.
It is. It's just, that piece of, you said it, self-care. Mm-hmm. As I'm going through my notes, and I know you have yours, we talked about her going to court. Mm-hmm. So at this point where I left off at the last episode, she had lost her child for 7 days.
Yes. Yes.
And basically you have 7 days to get your stuff together, get these forms filled out to prove to the courts that you are a good parent and that you deserve your child.
Right.
Which bothers me on many levels. Although I see both sides of it, I see, you know, we needed to know because really ultimately it's the child.
Right. Exactly.
But I can see how, again, this is another situation where I love this series because it shows you both sides. Mm-hmm. And for me, there has been more than a couple of occasions where I'm actually rooting for the abuser.
Yeah.
So it's just emotional because then my head jumps in and says, Leslie, this is what you do for a living. But it does help you understand.
Right. Exactly. Why this, it takes 7 times for somebody to leave.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And even in the courts, we talked about that before where it's like, okay, there's a million people on his side and then there's only one person on her side. And just, I'm seeing your notes right now, just the isolation that she's constantly in.
It is. And you know, you're learning more about her backstory.
Mm-hmm.
So she was definitely in a position when she met him to welcome that attention.
Yeah.
And welcome whatever attention she could get. So she was in the unique position to establish roots within his circle of friends, within his support system.
Because she had gone to
I think it was 9 different high schools.
9 different high schools. And before that it was middle schools. And and every single time she had moved, it was because her mother was in a new romantic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything, that was just kind of showing her in her childhood and just the basis of her life is like, oh, well, I only live where I have a romantic relationship.
Exactly. So it goes back to the cycle of abuse.
Yeah.
And it looks very different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it still rears its head. And it was really interesting. And then I'm looking at my notes too. It said they were telling her all these things. She needed proof of income.
Mm-hmm.
She needed stable housing. Both of those things fell under her abuser's realm of responsibilities. A utility bill. You don't get in a utility bill.
Yeah, for a while. You know?
Well, and a lot of times getting even if you do have the luxury of finding an affordable place to rent, you can't get the affordable place to rent without your proof of income.
Right.
And you can't get utilities in your name without credit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do get it,
who
knows? I don't know that we dug into that part of it, but a lot of times with our survivors, their credit has been destroyed.
Right.
And it's just because their abuser has just utilized every avenue that they can to hold things together. Proof of a support system. That was one of the things that they asked for.
Mm-hmm.
And the only person that she could remotely put on there, as a result of her isolation, was her mother.
Yes, who she was very estranged from.
Very much. So that was interesting to me.
And just the whole process of just asking her mother for her to fill out those papers.
It was exhausting.
It was literally exhausting for me just watching it. Mm-hmm. Like, I just felt like, well, when is she going to do it? You know, like,
just fill out
do
the paper.
It. Like, and you're just seeing the pain in Alex's eyes of just asking. She's like, all I need you to say is that I'm a good parent. You know, I'm a good parent.
And if you could say that he has a drinking problem, yeah, that would be great.
Yes.
But it was, and she didn't have it. And so, you know, I'm sure anybody listening or watching this has already seen the series. So spoiler alert, but he drops everything
right
in court. He comes down, he drops everything, mostly because I believe he realized that taking care of a three-year-old is exhausting.
Yeah. And, that scene, where she has to go get him because his mother, loses track of him. Like, hey, like, I don't know where he is. He's been missing. So she goes to their spot.
The work called.
Yeah.
Her.
Yeah.
And said, have you seen him? Because he didn't show up for work, which is out of character for him.
Right.
He does all night benders, mm-hmm, but then the guy that he works with said, or I guess it was Alex, said he's always done all night benders, but he always shows up to the work. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that shows that despite everything, she still does care about him.
Right.
So you can turn it off.
Yeah. And you can see that when she does show up to that little beach spot.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that scene was just super
powerful.
Like pivotal and powerful for the series, because as you and I just keep talking about, it's like, why doesn't the person just leave? Well, look at like some of the memories that they have together. Right. Like, look at the good times that they've had together. Like, it's not all bad. If it was all bad, then, you know, she probably wouldn't have been there in the first place.
Absolutely.
When in reality, there's just so many good qualities and, I guess, good memories of them being together and just him sitting where they used to be at, mm-hmm, and her finding them.
And she knew where to go.
Yeah, and she knew exactly where to go. And then just him, I just remember, like, I watched it so recently, mm-hmm, but I just, like, was looking at the TV and I was just like, wow, because he just looked at her and he's like, why don't you even like me anymore? Like,
I know.
What happened? And then you feel like you were just saying, like, the emotional side of you is like, oh man, he really loves her. Like,
and you know? I do believe that he loves her.
Right.
I don't want to come across as, I believe that abusers love, mm-hmm, the survivors. I really do. But the generational, it's hard to stop that generational trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like I said last time, no abuser wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to financially isolate, mm-hmm, my partner. I am going to get angry at some point today and lose my cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody has those intentions. I don't want to say I don't think anybody. I would say I don't think a lot.
Most
of abusers wake up with the intentions to be abusive.
And that's why, like, you know, when we are talking about healthy relationships in, mm-hmm, our presentations, where like love is not a feeling, you know, it really is a decision that you make.
I love that. The last time when you said it, love is a decision.
You decide that you are, despite whatever is going on today, I'm not going to disrespect my partner by utilizing these tactics to get power and control, and I'm going to recognize my own behavior when things like that happen. Because we had also talked about, like, hey, like, these tactics are used by everybody, right? Because it's, mm-hmm, it's a world that we live in. We want control. Like, that is a very natural thing. But when you're utilizing more than one tactic more than one time, then that means that you're abusing the other person.
Mm-hmm. And you're showing a pattern.
Mm-hmm. And of course, like, patterns are up and down. So, like, he's also, like, in every relationship, right? There are some moments of like recognition, like he just had, like, you don't like me anymore. Like, what happened? And then talking, mm-hmm, about good times with her. And then, like, you know, I thought her response was really good too, when she was just like, it's not always happy.
Well, it's not always happy. And it's while my feelings for you are very, very dear, continuing to allow you to be like this is enabling a problem.
Right. And it's not safe for their child.
It's not safe for my child. I don't want to pick glass out of her hair again.
Right.
When we know escalation is real.
Yeah.
So, and he knows it. And I think that's the part of it that tugs at your heartstrings, because he sees it.
Yeah.
He was clearly abused as a child.
Yeah.
He knows.
And that is like a really, right after that scene when he goes home is when that really like comes to play, because mm-hmm. the mom says something like, he's just like his dad, and looks at her. And then the other thing that I wrote down was like, she said, a bird that never flew.
Yeah.
And then the other biggest thing that I wrote down is when he was, you know, drunk on the beach and like trying to talk to her. He was like talking about the sea glass. And I thought it was like really, really powerful when he said like, I'm sea glass, I'm not trash.
And you know, I did pick up on it, but that's a really good, because basically that's the way his mother made him feel.
Yeah.
Like trash. And that pulls at her heartstrings too, because she
had known all that. They had a very close relationship. So even then, like she was able to talk to her. I mean, talk to him about that. Cause yeah, like those memories are real. Like the relationship they had was very real. It's just like right. You just said, it had escalated to the point where it was not safe. And he had been utilizing those tactics more than one time. It was a pattern. And, you know, it was his responsibility to make things right.
It is. And I think that's a big thing. And specifically with women is, we can fix this.
Mm-hmm.
And sure we can, but at what expense?
Mm-hmm.
So at what expense to your own self and to your family self, to your child self, even your pets
mm-hmm.
well-being, because pets are a big reason.
Right.
A lot of our survivors don't leave. So I don't know. It was interesting. I also wrote down the cleaning of the toilet.
Oh yeah.
I just this woman is, I think she's much stronger than I am.
Oh yeah.
Because I don't know, now having been a mother and I mean, I've cleaned my fair share of toilets, don't get me wrong, but this was at a whole new level. So to recap, she gets a job cleaning a house where some squatters
were. Yeah.
And you walk into the house and you can, I almost could smell it watching.
Yeah, just watching. Yeah. Because, you know, we all have like that memory of like just being in a place like that.
Oh, I know. So, you know, and, but it, no, she wasn't happy about it.
Yeah.
But she rolled her sleeves up and she did it. Yet another day where I can be honest with myself and say, if I walked into the house, I'm just going to go back home.
Right. Yeah. Why doesn't she just leave?
Right.
Like, yeah. The things that we just keep pointing out, and just in every single episode, there's just this hurdle after hurdle, mm-hmm. after hurdle, after hurdle, when it's just like, well, maybe it'd just be easier if I was just back.
And it would.
Yeah.
Until the next time.
Mm-hmm.
So she does that, and then she gets on the bus, and so her self-worth is take one step forward, two steps back.
Yeah.
And somebody gets up on the bus and they move to the other side of the bus, and she
reeks. Yeah.
And so she smells like the house she cleaned. And then she goes to see she goes to see Sean, and he's at a bar.
Yeah. When he had, like, you know, promised over and over again, mm-hmm. as we had talked about last time, I even wrote, yeah, I went to a meeting. Are you feeling okay? Mm-hmm. Just other things about, you know, their ongoing promises that people are going to change.
Right.
They don't understand how, like, terrorizing, you know, some of the things that they do are to the other person, especially if, you know, they're under the influence. And it's just like, after that horrible day that she had, like, you have to, you know, every single thing that she's experienced, like a lot of times I try to put myself there, you know, it is a daunting task, right? Because
right.
I can't put myself exactly where she is, but it's just like, after all of that, like, you smell awful, you're on the bus because you crashed your car, you haven't seen your kid in so long because it wasn't her fault, you know, all these things that are stacked against, and then you see the guy at the bar, like,
and the reason that he is the way he is because of the generational trauma, and their child is now with the source of that generational trauma while he's out. So when I say that domestic violence and emotional abuse is generational, this is a prime example
right.
of the
rotation. And it's just domestic violence, like, as we keep talking about, and our mission triathlon is just breaking the cycle, you know, because we're recognizing that, you know, it is a cycle. Like, it is generational, like you're talking about. Like, these healthy relationships are intentional, like I keep saying over and over again. And, like, and so are the tactics of being in a healthy relationship. Right. Like, you have to intentionally want to be better. And that is the same when it's called, when we're breaking the cycle of all of these other negative and bad power control tactics of just saying, like, hey, like, it is my responsibility to be better.
Absolutely. So then she gets brought to the transitional housing.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a little different than we see transitional housing in our community as far as Avalon goes. But the where she went for her... where they got her with the rent controlled and the subsidized housing. It also housed ex-cons.
Yep.
It was essentially a halfway house.
Basically.
So it scared her to bring her daughter there. But then that's when her mom had a moment of, she actually contributed.
Yeah.
And had
so
a moment of clarity.
Exactly.
And said, we can bring sunshine to this place.
Which comes with mental health too. Like, she's manic, right? Mm-hmm. So she has good days and she has bad days. And
right.
She had one particular day, and that mural was beautiful.
It was.
So cute. I really liked it.
And I think she's gone. I haven't seen her in my episode since she came and did the mural and then disappeared. But, you know, so, and I think she did make it. I think she did add it to, so again, generational. It was really good.
That's what I wanted to say. Like, so we just broke down really episode 3 and just like some of the things are looking up at the end of episode 3.
Yes,
like,
they are.
She has shared custody now, which is good. You know, she has a new apartment. It's not in a great area. It's not great, but, you know, it's an apartment. it's her own space. She achieved it with the things that she's done. And then, you know, and that painting was kind of the last thing that I wrote, because I thought it was just so beautiful and vibrant. It's like, okay, this is a new start. This is a fresh start.
Right.
You know, but as we're watching and our experience with domestic violence just working in this field, like, when's the bad going to come?
And it is a roller coaster. And that's exactly right. And so this show is also very stressful to me because I keep waiting for something else to happen. Number one, because it's made for television.
Right.
And I know that it's coming, but it's so telling because I feel like that we see this with our clients.
Yeah. I mean,
it's the up, it's the down, it's the happy, it's the sad.
Things are going well until what? I mean, even, even in, you know, our lives, like we're all experiencing life as it goes. And it is a roller coaster, whether it's a year of happiness and then a year of sadness, or how long, you know, your time is when it comes to, you know, different life stages. Mm-hmm. And that's why when we talk about how to have a healthy relationship, the biggest thing that we really stress at first is just making sure that everybody understands what resilience is.
Oh, yes.
It's going to come. It is going to come. Like, the bad times are going to come. And it's how we are resilient and how we get through that time, which is going to help our relationship, you know, with others, but also our relationship with ourselves.
Because recovery is so important.
Mm-hmm.
It's the recovery. Even, well, you go to the gym. I do too. But we're talking about the gym, and the workout is important.
Mm-hmm.
The pain is important, but the recovery is more important.
Right.
The recovery, the repair, because when you repair something, you're repairing it stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be broken in order to repair it.
Right.
So it's a vicious cycle. And then we see that at the beginning of the very next episode, she goes and she checks the mail. She knows she's getting a car. We don't know that.
Yeah.
And she checks the mail and she gets her SNAP card.
Yeah.
And it was so exciting for her because she was going to go get groceries.
Right.
And they were going to do all of this stuff. And then the roller coaster crash when she went to the grocery store and the judgment.
Right.
I still don't know if when she said clean up on aisle 4, was that in her head?
I believe that
was in her head.
Yeah.
But the guy behind her was not.
No.
And so... And that's very true to form.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like there is a judgment there when you use those cards. There's an assumption that you are abusing the system.
Right. When in reality, like the reason why we do the things that we do and that I'm passionate about, like speaking about that all the time is like, hey, like I want to help somebody who needs help. Like I'm happy to do it. But I just really don't like that stigma, which is something that, you know, we all are socially kind of given that, oh, people just utilize the system when in reality, like this person really needs it. If anything, she needed more.
Well, it was $67 a week.
Yeah, come on.
And I when I saw that number, I thought, oh my gosh, it is because, well, this was before inflation, but that's just not, I mean, it's just not enough.
Even like, I mean, looking at just like the healthy stuff, like you can't buy that.
Oh, yeah. It's expensive to eat healthy.
Yeah.
But yeah, she went to a basic needs class.
Yeah.
That was explaining all
this. That was all these things that you need to do, but here's $67. Good luck.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Again, now let's talk about the car.
Yeah. This is kind of a big moment as I was watching it for a person who does like teach healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. I was happy for her for getting it, but I kind of was mad at the dude. I don't know if anybody else was feeling that.
And I haven't seen the whole series. So I don't have, I am optimistically cautious.
Yeah.
With this guy. Because they barely know each other.
Yeah, he just had a major crush on her for a very long time.
And his intentions may be absolutely valid.
Maybe.
I'm looking at your face and I'm...
I don't know. Maybe. I did watch the whole series and I do think that, you know, a lot of people have good intentions. But also when we talk about just consent and like power and control and just, you know, some of the stigmas and the experiences that people go through, mm-hmm. especially women, just like how we had talked about, like, oh, like a lot of times when somebody either even buys you a drink, you know, there's like this social push and pressure that you have to spend time and you have to spend like maybe give a phone number, just like all kinds of things that you're expected to do because somebody bought you a drink.
And that's the currency exchange,
right? And you had talked about that in the
monetization. I feel like my value has been now monetized because you bought me a drink, so I need to. It's kind of like Sheldon, and he hates holidays on Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to give you a gift and then you expect me to get a gift back and I don't know what size, and it creates this societal pressure.
Right.
And then he lets her borrow a car.
Yeah, which is a huge thing. Like not everybody, you have to be in a very good financial situation to have an extra vehicle.
Right.
Yeah. Like a very good one. So there's already that pressure, but I was really proud of her. Like there are some moments watching this.
I know.
Where I'm like, where come going. On.
I know.
Like, come on, girl. Like I really just want to be there for her.
Throw in popcorn.
Yeah, come on. Like, please.
I know.
Please, honey. Like, please. And I'm sure like if somebody was watching, you know, that of my life, they would be doing the same thing. Like, come on, Candace. Like,
no.
Come on. I'm perfect, right? So in that moment, I was so happy for her just setting her boundaries and being like, hey, like, I am just not in a position to do that. And that was pretty cool because I think, you know, as mad as I was for him asking, I think his response was really well too, like, of just, like, kind of backing off and not mm-hmm. asking again because, you know, there are a lot of people in life that would just, you know, keep asking and think that that's going to get you.
Well, and she said, if this was coming with strings... She was very clear about that up front. So, but it does show the desperation. She needs a car.
Right. I think that's part of like, you know, getting some of that power back and that isolation back. I think that, I mean, we've talked about that before. I think my car, just in general, like if you can't use your car for like breaks down or like you have to ask people for rides or stuff like that, you really feel like you have lost all of your independence. Like, that you can't get it. Like, you have to ask people for stuff. You have to go and do things. And especially in Williamsburg, I'm sure, like, if there's a person without a car, like, how are you getting around?
Well, it is hard. And we've talked about this. And yeah. I'm about to share something very personal. But a few years ago, I had a stroke and had seizures. For a year or so, I couldn't drive. And that pressure, that loss of independence will do so much mental damage because mm-hmm. while my husband was wonderful and he took me wherever I needed to go, he took me to work, he did all of these things, watching him be exhausted from working opposite shifts for me and driving me, and then my in-laws were wonderful, they were great, they drove me, but there's also that feeling of, now, how do I pay you back?
Mm-hmm.
And that is, so when you talk about independence and then, gosh, the stress every single night of how am I going to get to work in the morning? Who can drive me? Who have I not abused yet to already ask?
Right.
And these people are going to think I'm mooching. And then occasionally you have somebody who does say, you overhear somebody talking about the fact that they have to drive you.
Yeah.
So it's her mental... your self-worth drops.
Yeah, and we just talked about, you know, with her SNAP card and just and the housing situation and just all of these other barriers to her self-worth that just keep piling on. Because like we had talked about, like there's moments of lightness, but like a lot, this series is a lot of like hard places.
Yeah.
Like I would definitely not want to switch lives with her.
No, absolutely not. But then she starts journaling, and I love this part.
Yeah.
Because journaling is such a healthy coping skill.
Yeah, and we had talked about, like, resilience, right? Mm-hmm. And there's different ways that you can be resilient, and one of those, you know, is a hobby, you know, to help you get through some of the hard times. And mm-hmm. we know that she's a very gifted writer because it had spoke about how she got a scholarship but didn't take it. Previously because, you know, getting pregnant and all that other stuff in her life and mm-hmm. not having the support to do it, you know. A lot of these things, in order to get ahead, you know, you need people around you. And that's why we talked about how isolation is such a key tactic in order to get power and control over somebody. So I was really happy for her when she started writing. When are we going to talk about the thing that we don't want to talk about?
The stress?
Yeah.
So, because, right, well, it starts with the dating app.
Yes. So I get kind of excited for her because I'm like, all right, like, you're distracting yourself. Like, that's an okay thing to do.
And she deserves, but then, you know, and you do get the giggle at the different, you know, the swipes.
Yeah, and just, like, how... Because, you know, we're talking about TV, so, you know, Leslie and I keep mentioning that, you know, some of this is just over the top a little bit, but some of it seems
so very realistic to me. So I've never done dating app.
So good thing I'm on here.
Right. because I have a decade or two over you, but, and so they didn't have dating apps before. For me. So this is all new territory for me, although I do have some friends that I may or may not have set up for them because they wouldn't do it.
No, it's super fun. It can be super fun. Yeah. It can be, you know, just an escape from reality sometimes. And
absolutely.
That's why we watch TV. That's why we are on our phones. Yes. That's why we have social media. You know, sometimes it helps, you know, as long as it's not taken too far, like we're talking about how to stay resilient. It's one of those tools, you know, that you can utilize, like just the sense of humor, you know, just laughing at throughout life and just getting to know other people and just removing yourself from whatever is stressing you out. And so, yeah, I was a little happy for her at first, and then I got upset with her.
I did get upset with her. So, and it worked out, but... And you actually didn't even watch it.
So, yeah, that's the little thing. So, as Leslie and I were walking in, I was like, hey, I was watching that. Well, not watching because I was driving. As I was driving out here, I was listening to the last few minutes of episode 4. And I was like, and I have a confession, Leslie. And she's like, oh, what? I was like, I had never watched the whole thing because when she invited over the dude.
Let's back it up and explain. So... this house that she's been cleaning, we know that there's a backstory with the owner of the house, and we do, that comes up a little bit in the series.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so she, it's over Thanksgiving, and she drops Maddie off.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wants to work. So she offers on Thanksgiving to clean the grout in this woman's shower. And the woman says, that's fine. Are you going to charge me extra? Mm-hmm. And so this was an escape for Alex. So Alex said, no, I'm not going to charge you extra. They agreed. And so she went there and she cleaned.
And she cleaned it well. Like that's
she
another did. Thing.
So that's
like
another thing. She's very good at it. And she knows it because she explained. So I'm getting ahead of myself. So then she takes a dip in her hot tub.
Yeah.
That stressed me out just by itself.
Everything that she did that day stressed me out.
She, in knowing that this woman is not supposed to be home, she had a glass of her wine.
Yeah.
She put on her clothes.
Yeah.
And I, the whole time I did, full disclosure, I took the Netflix thing and I kept going forward because I was like, this woman's going to come home at any point. She's going to find you wearing her clothes.
Yeah.
But then she invited a Tinder date.
Yes. Over to the house. And I was horrified. I was absolutely horrified. But at the same time, it was like, why am I horrified by her
behavior?
A,
it's just a TV show.
Yeah. And it's just a TV show. Yes. But also, what kinds of decisions have I made in my life that have put myself in a situation that, you know.
Oh, it's amazing. I'm an adult.
Yeah. That I might have, if it would have gone another way, it would have been terrible.
Right.
But yeah, just the personality that I do have, though, I was stressed. So my confession was I didn't wash it. As soon as the person showed up to the house, like, I had skipped through until...
I know, it's like watching a horror movie.
Yeah, I couldn't. I couldn't. It's like a scary movie to me. Like, that, like, stressed me out.
The anxiety... My anxiety jumped up full the whole time. I couldn't enjoy her self-care.
Yeah, and her conversation. Like,
yes.
You know, like, because it was a pretty innocent, nice conversation. She was able to, like, really let loose and just be her, like, her fake self, I guess. You know, and she really got to just relax, it seems like, for the
and
first time.
And this guy
time.
Seems nice.
Yeah. First time in the show that wasn't a memory.
Right.
She was relaxed.
And then the woman came home and we knew it was going to happen.
I knew it was going to happen because
we were just waiting for it. So it was stressful.
So, so just in the nick of time, she gets the person out. So mm-hmm. that, I think she kind of.
That poor little guy.
Yeah.
Too,
oh,
I know.
God. And then, you know, this is when, you know, that person, and I think we hadn't mentioned it in episode one, episode two, but they got into like a huge fight.
Mm-hmm.
And she had, I mean, Alex had acted inappropriately, but it was kind of like a staple moment for the two of them of like, just kind of going through like, this is my life versus this is your life.
And they're not as far apart.
Right. As they think they are.
Yeah.
And that's when this conversation that they have while she's wearing her clothes and drinking her wine, like that she gets to know this person on a very intimate level and gets to realize, okay, I might not have the money and the nice things that this woman has, but you know, she also is going through something very traumatic. So that was kind of a cool thing, and it really just like kickstarts her journaling
mm-hmm.
when she starts the Confessions of Maid. So
I know,
that's really,
I'm very excited
yeah,
to see where that goes.
Yeah, so it's really cool. This relationship too, because I've seen it, it's really cool, the relationship between these two women. So it started out really, really shaky, and you hate this lady, and you think she's awful.
See, I didn't.
Really?
I didn't hate her, and I will tell you, because I hated the way she treated Alex, but I also... maybe it was foreshadowing. Maybe mm-hmm. I recognized the foreshadowing, but I knew that there was just something about her that I knew there was more to the story.
Right.
So I have been waiting for this moment
mm-hmm.
to come. you know, and we joked because she left that night after the conversation. And I said, well, is nobody going to talk about the fact that she's wearing her cashmere sweater?
Yeah. Like, and I was like, she don't care about that sweater.
No. I'm chasing down the sweater. I'm like, excuse me.
And I'm thinking, like, she's like, take all the pies, like, whatever. Like, you know, those pies probably cost more than that $67 that she had. That's something that I'm just thinking about. I know. Right now.
You're right. Yeah. Absolutely. The ingredients to make those pies.
The only thing I really picked out, and this is really towards the end of the episode, mm-hmm. of some of the things that this woman had said to Alex, I thought were pretty impactful. She had said, like, don't let anyone take advantage of you. Like,
yes.
she gave her more money, and Alex, you know, was horrified and embarrassed that she, like, was caught basically, like, utilizing her house to relax. And, this woman says to her, like, hey, like, you did a fantastic job.
This house is sparkly.
Yeah. Like, don't let anybody ever take advantage of you. And she gives her, like, extra money or whatever. And then just in her sadness, and, you know, you can kind of, like, empathize with her in that moment. And she says something really powerful that I wrote down. Like, personally, it was just, like, work is the only thing that you can count on, which I thought.
It's a sad truth.
Yeah, because, you know, relationships are hard, and you don't really see, I think, the, it's always a cycle. Whereas, like, in your career, when you work hard, things come out of it.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
And emotions, well, emotions are involved in work, too. But at this point in her life, now whether this woman knows it or not, Alex has got to take control and of the things that she can control.
Mm-hmm.
And work is something that she can control.
Which is why she's so talented.
Right.
You know, even at cleaning. Like, that's awesome. Like,
yeah. Because some of us aren't good at it.
Oh, no. And some of us hate it.
No.
There are some things that I really do like, but that whole toilet situation.
That was something else. That was a whole new level. And it brings to mind a camping experience that I will share with you on another day.
I'm just like, oh my God.
But the series is great. Encourage you to watch it.
And, like, I think since we're unpacking it, I think really episode 3 and episode 4, I felt were very realistic.
I agree.
It wasn't as, I guess, traumatic as maybe the first couple episodes.
No, they were intense. But I think it was setting, and I think it's true to the relationship, mm-hmm. and to the whole experience of being a survivor is... it often starts out intense.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's a long process.
Right. And, like, even that moment when she had, like, to relax, right? She mm-hmm. was doing something that was definitely illegal, definitely something she shouldn't be doing, should have been fired. Like, that would lose everything for her, where all she was trying to do is relax, right?
Right. And her current living situation is not going to give her that.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, and I think she needed, just for a moment...
To escape.
We all do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, you know, like, alcoholism and drug issues a lot of times come into play with a lot of, you know, even, like, survivors and abusers and mm-hmm. just everyday people, where it's just, like, you're looking just to escape from, like, this roller coaster just for 1 second. Because as happy as this moment's going to be, you just know that something's going to go wrong soon.
Right. And more than not, they are accurate.
Yeah.
So, and understand that we're not discounting the social anxiety or we're not discounting any of the trauma that Sean has.
Mm-hmm.
He has his own issues that he has to deal with. And we're not discounting any of that. We're not discounting alcoholism, mm-hmm. substance abuse, any of that, because those are all real things mm-hmm. and they need treatment. But our mission at Avalon is to help the survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And our mission is to offer services and offer resources for survivors,
right.
Not the abuser.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want anybody to think that we have, you know, it's we're not validating that experience because it's very real. But we can't solve the entire world's problems.
Exactly. So, and that's why we do a lot of prevention work too.
Exactly.
Because, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of domestic violence in Sean's early life. And, you know, that's why we're so passionate about prevention. You know, just speaking to students and young people just about what abuse looks like and just what a healthy relationship looks like.
Right.
And then how we can, you know, influence a healthy relationship in our lives and all of our relationships, especially romantic ones. Because, you know, Alex's story could have been way different. And that's why I'm so passionate about the work that I do. Because, you know, a lot of times, more often than not, people die.
It is a sad truth. And in the last year, we unfortunately have been close to situations where they have had the worst outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And it tears you up. It breaks your heart. So like you said, the prevention piece is key, and letting people understand escalation and helping through that awful process of leaving the abuser.
Yeah. And like at Avalon and domestic violence in general, we know that though this is a roller coaster, there is going to be a light. This is 10 episodes, though. There's going to be so many more roller coasters. So we're really excited just to continue to unpack all these roller coasters. But I thought that 3 and 4 we're kind of feeling pretty good right now. I feel good for Alex. I really want things to work out with her. But
I'm feeling good with Sean. I'm feeling like Sean is, his intentions are to co-parent.
Yep.
So and anytime you can get to a place where you are co-parenting, I believe it's a success.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that can change in the next episode, and I'm willing to bet it does. But right now, they are co-parenting, which is great. And
it goes like episode by episode, but we got to think about like, this may be a 30 so minutes of our lives, but this is probably capturing, you know, months of Alex's life.
Absolutely.
So try to keep that in perspective too, like as you guys are watching it, or if you've watched it before, or you're just interested in us, you know, just discussing this, you know, it's a long road. So, get ready, put your seatbelts on because I have watched it. So I know how this is going to go. But we're going to unpack 5 and 6.
Next, yeah. Right? So I can promise you that I won't fast forward. If it gets stressful again.
Yeah.
Pretty right on the money. Mm-hmm. And one of the legal things that we skipped over was they were talking about it's hard to prove emotional abuse in the courts. And so, and I did call to verify with one of my colleagues. It's hard.
Right.
Just like, kind of like with stalking, you know, you have to prove intent and that intent is there. And while everybody in that courtroom understands and can see through it, it's really hard to prove intention. Mm-hmm. So that is a challenge, and it's a challenge. And that was true. So I think the last 2 episodes were, I don't know that there was very much sensationalism.
Yeah. And you know, it could have been the other way, you know, like if that experience hadn't happened where she went and had to go find him and, they had that moment together, like maybe he would have chosen something different. Like, as you keep saying, like everything's like situational and, you know, it is very, and they could easily be back. And that was one of the things he said. He was like, well, if you crash your car again with our child, we're going to be back here. And of course, like then she, which I was happy for too, she was like, well, if you're drunk again, when you have our kid, like we're going to be back here. You know, there's things like holding each other accountable, like, hey, like, you know, we all make mistakes, but let's move forwards and not come back here.
Let's acknowledge it and move forward. All parties win.
Yeah.
Even though they both lost, they all win. And the idea right here was Maddie.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy, and I am delightfully surprised at how accurate this series is. Has been so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
I mean, yeah, definitely. I agree. And I'm super excited for the next couple episodes because it's gonna get intense. I'm letting you know.
Great. Well, you guys, thank you so much. Please like and subscribe to the podcast. And we're going to be back next week with breaking down episodes 5 and 6.
Yeah.
And comment, share the survey. Please fill out the survey, and we'll talk to you soon. Right. Bye, guys. Take care.
Avalon Center's podcast, Responding with Hope, is paid for by the Department of Social Services. Avalon Center offers emergency shelter, individual and group counseling, and much more to survivors of domestic and sexual assault. If you need help, call our 24-hour hotline at 833-537-0970 or visit us at avaloncenter.org.